Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon, FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring you another special guest. Her name is Elizabeth Green, and she's the co-founder of Jungler, which I will say is one of the top agencies out there when it comes to handling your PPC on Amazon. That's why I wanted to bring Elizabeth today, because there is a topic that's been bothering a lot Amazon sellers, which is, how do I deal with my PPC when the cost per click is high? Like, what is the strategy? How do I deal with that? And we're going to be, you know, diving deeper into that. Like, what are some of the things you should be mindful of? And hopefully that's going to, you know, give you some insights and some strategies so you can implement them in your Amazon business. So, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's going to be on.
Pleasure. I think, if I don't recall bad, we met in Vegas, actually. Yeah, in Prosper this year.
That is right.
So we had a good time there. For those that don't know, Prosper is one of the top events when it comes to Amazon sellers. So definitely check it out. But yes, let's start a little bit with you, Elizabeth. I mean, you have such an amazing background in the Amazon space, you know. You're very well known and your company as well. So tell us a little bit about you, your company, and then, of course, we dive deeper into the topic. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm super excited for this topic. It's not an easy one for sure, but it's one that I know is on all sellers' minds these days. So I'll do my best to shed some light on it. But yeah, the reason why I am somewhat qualified to talk about this topic is, yes, we do run an Amazon ad management agency. So we focus on being able to create business-centric strategies for founder-led brands, established founder-led brands. So again, top of mind for everyone. And when I say business focused ads, I'm probably going to get into that a little bit on this conversation.
I love it. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when it comes to PPC, it's all about, you know, understanding how you tailor that towards your specific business. Yes. Because I feel, I'm sure you see this all the time, sellers think that PPC is a copy paste thing, like the same that work for that brand is going to work for me. That's definitely not the case. And that's why so many people struggle with PPC. So I'm really curious to, you know, hear your takes and your expertise to you know, how to navigate complexity, such as having a high cost per click. Now, when it comes to, I will say, you know, dealing with a high cost per click, I think at the end of the day, this is something that I feel where a lot of Amazon sellers also do the mistake, is that they didn't consider this in the first place of launching this product. Mm. Like when they do the product research, yeah, they didn't even know what was the cost per click. And that's the fundamental issue. So let's start with that. Like, how you feel Amazon sellers should take in consideration CPC before doing even a launch when it comes to PPC, because that's can make or break your business, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that you started there, because I am 100% on board with you. And honestly, it's not just, is it a high CPC? It's, what does the search market look like in your particular space? So the thing with Amazon advertising, when we're talking like on-platform advertising, is you're not generating demand. That's why we all go to Amazon. That's why we're selling on Amazon, because Amazon has done that really, really hard work for us. With the way that they've built up their platform, is they've generated the demand. And so all we're looking to do is simply harness that demand. Well, if you can't generate the demand and you're simply harnessing the demand, then the question then becomes, what is the actual demand for my products? And while a lot of sellers, when they go about doing product research, go about it the right way, right? They're looking at, okay, so what are the competitors doing in my space? You know, if you're doing a really good job, you're saying, what are the gaps in the market? Where's the way that I can differentiate my product? How can I offer something new that's exciting, that, you know, still capitalizes on that search market? But I've seen far too many sellers only focus on what are the sales happening for these competitors.
Yeah.
What they're completely leaving out of the equation, to your point, in an extension of that being cost per click, is what kind of keywords are there for me to be able to rank on? Oftentimes we know our top keyword, but do you know the complete depth of your search market? To be honest, I have found the most difficult products to be able to run ads on are the products where there's only one or two keywords that have any sort of search volume. And when I say any sort of search volume, I'm talking about a couple thousand search volume. If you have only one keyword in your space, that all, and this is, this sort of search market is really shaped by customers and shoppers. Amazon's not doing anything. It's what are shoppers actually typing in their search to find products like mine? If you have only one keyword where any volume of search is happening, every single competitor in your market, it's a bloodbath. They're all competing.
It's a monopoly. It's a monopoly, essentially. Everybody's fighting there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's fighting. And the person who can pay the most wins. And that's a really, really difficult. I mean, are there nuanced ways to do it? Are there, you know, sort of product targeting? Is there other ways? Can we try long tail even if it's only? Yes, right? There's sophisticated, and I will be frank with you, very difficult ways to try and navigate those markets, which we've done and are doing. But it in some ways can feel like an uphill battle. And so if you just went out of your way to, you know, not only just look at the competition, but look at the, you know, sort of search market, market depth, all of that stuff, have a really good lay of the land, you can say, okay, at least I know I have options going into it. Because to be perfectly frank, there's a lot of sellers who will come to me and they're like, oh, I know it's a really competitive market. But then I take a look at the search volume on like the, you know, the keyword target options. And I'm like, dude, we could target this. Like there's so much volume in the long tail. Fantastic. We have a ton of things that we could test, almost too many things that we could test. So we have to be selective in those cases. So just because, you know, we say like my market is competitive, there's a lot of like really sophisticated sellers, doesn't necessarily mean there isn't a way to play that game. It's when your options become so narrowed, you're left with like no choices and no ways to pivot. That's when it becomes super difficult.
Yeah, and I think another mistake people do when it comes to doing the pro research phase and they come across these markets is that sometimes they see, yes, maybe there's not many keywords, but they get fixated in the fact that some sellers are making really high figures in terms of revenue, but they don't understand that sometimes those figures don't come from the actual search itself. It comes from branded search that come from outside of Amazon. Or sometimes they are a position in what we call usually outlier keywords, keywords that have nothing to do with the category. They just got lucky and they got position for a keyword such as kitchen. Let's make an example, which has thousands and thousands of search volume. So I think that's where, you know, you as a seller have to become very savvy and be able to detect this. Otherwise, you fall into the trap of, you know, jumping on an issue, as you say, that there is no way in terms of really go in depth and expand your wings into other keywords, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to cost per click, of course, another thing that we have to be mindful of is that it's dynamic, of course, it's based on what the competition is doing. And to some extent, we could say it's seasonal, right? Because during specific seasons of the year, people get more aggressive than others. And therefore, that's where the complexity gets even higher, because that means your P&L has to be, to some extent, also dynamic to account for these fluctuations. Now, being said that, from a PPC perspective, how you even begin to design a strategy when you know that, you know, your CPC fluctuates throughout the year and you need to ensure, you know, your margins are kept consistent. Like, do you implement some kind of a dynamic where bids are adjusted based on certain KPIs? What is your take on that?
Yeah, I love that you set up that way with the complexity. I'll add in another piece of complexity for you that honestly, in some ways, is a little bit of the bane of my existence in terms of ad management, but it's why I'm still in business, let's be honest. Yeah. Is the fact that advertising will lead to total sales increases. Those correlations, 100% factual. Your advertising strategy, if done right, if done well, can lead to better organic rankings. And so I just had a really fascinating conversation with somebody over in the Google Ads world. And there, Google has definitely made a disconnect, right? It doesn't matter how much you spend on ads. You're obviously driving traffic. You want to make sure that traffic converts, but you don't have like reverberating benefits from it where you do in Amazon. And so there becomes this thing, right? There are very real scenarios in which the advertising may not be profitable, but it makes sense from a business perspective to run that unprofitable advertising because you have those additional benefits in the terms of ranking, right? A great way to track this, by the way, is total ACoS. It's a really great way to like look at those correlations and also sort of backtrack into profitability. Here's the kicker. Where is that line that makes sense for me to continuously lose out on ads? When should I stop? When should I pull back? When should I keep going? And that is the question that if you have no context in the data and you have no context in the account, I can't answer for you. And I've had a lot of like, it's not a bad question. And in fact, it's a question that I asked myself in the beginning. And I've gone down the rabbit hole several times, like when search query performance reports came out, and all these reports came out, and looked at Helium 10 data, looked at Smart Scout data, like, is there a way for me to correlate this? Is if I could definitively understand what it would take and cost to move up in search rank and what benefits I'm going to get in terms of total sales lift from that, then I could give you a definitive answer.
The Pandora box is open.
Very, very easy, right? If I could get total ACoS on a per search term level, like I could win all day long, right? The thing is, you can't. And to be frank, I don't think you ever will. Is that within Amazon's best interest to release data that would allow you to calculate that?
Yeah.
That being said, we get stuck in this place where should we push, should we pull? Where do we go? And that becomes even more difficult when you layer on the fact that cost per clicks are going up. And I've had conversations with sellers and I completely sympathize. They're like, how is anyone paying these cost per clicks? They're insane. Well, the fact is, if nobody was paying for them, the cost per clicks would not be that high. So it might be that your competitors just aren't paying attention. There are also our enterprise brands coming into the space now who are noticing that, hey, Amazon is a platform to be leveraged because they are the dominant ones in the market. And these types of brands said, hey, we have a 25 grand test budget a month. Go ham, see what ROAS you can get, and we'll figure it out from there. Those are those conversations, right?
Yeah, play with that. I don't need a specific KPI,
Right. I mean, I asked where, hey, is there a KPI we need from this? You know, do we need to stick with the set parameters? And they're like, no, we just want to see what the potential is, and then we can, you know, we can benchmark off of what we get the first month. Great. That's fantastic, right? But that's the kind of money coming into the market. And they're just looking at how far can we grow? How much can we get new to brand, and what is it going to cost us? And for them, because again, that's them building their brand and they're dominating it and they want to own it. It's worth it for them. It's not worth it for a smaller private label seller to be able to do that. It's just not. Yeah. And so it becomes this. And so what I always backtrack into is kind of tease that in the beginning, is business centric goals. What are we trying to achieve? How fast do we want to grow? So you need to figure out, I think this is with any business, right? You need to figure out your goals and you need to figure out your constraints. Because goals could be, I want to double. But my constraint would be, I can't double my ad budget. That's a difficult conversation, right? So it's how fast do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And what are your available resources? And then if we have that information, then I can help you craft a much more strategic advertising strategy that's going to account for all of these, like you were saying, crazy fluctuations, crazy cost per clicks, all of these things. And we can find a way to play the game that makes sense for you. Because you can honestly almost play the game in any way that you want, but not everybody has infinite ad spend. And so that's where the difficulties lie.
Yeah, I would say another thing that I'm seeing the space, and it started to become also a trend, especially for brands that come from a sort of Amazon that have been playing the branding 101 basics in terms of how to grow a brand, is that now they're not actually looking to focus too much on ACOS or TACOS. They focus more on lifetime value and customer retention. And this is something that I feel, I mean, we see, for example, how Amazon has been releasing the customer loyalty dashboard, how they're giving us more metrics from a branding perspective. Because I feel as the market is getting more and more competitive and it's getting more mature, the conversation has to shift from only focusing on top of the line KPIs, the traditional ACOS, TACOS, and ROAS, to actually how I make this brand grow in terms of awareness, in terms of customer retention, and how I get the most money out of my clients in the long term. And I guess that's answer a little bit what you were describing. Like these brands, they don't really care spending these high budgets because it's all about, you know, dominating the market. You see my brand over and over again until you become mine, and then I make money with you in the long term. But I feel it's a tough situation, as you said, for small sellers, because I feel from a small seller perspective, we're still on that mindset that I need to make money on that initial transaction, right? And that's where the things from a PPC perspective can get complex, because when you start having the high CPC, it's tough to, you know, even if you have sometimes a perfect conversion, the math is just not there. So now talking about that from a strategic perspective in PPC, like what are some of the things maybe you are doing to mitigate that? Like, are you trying to maybe bring some external traffic to compensate with that? Are you changing the type of targeting that you're doing? Are you doing maybe day parting? Like how you deal with these scenarios where small sellers don't have the budget to wait for the long term, but they need to start making essentially profit on that initial transaction. It's a tough conversation, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I would say if you go into a launch saying I absolutely must make profit in this product launch day one, or I'm considering it a fail, you've probably already lost.
It's a red flag. Now, yeah.
Am I saying it is not possible? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if that is the expectation, then I absolutely need to make a profit to survive for day one. The decisions that you will make to try and achieve that are going to hurt your sales goals and what you're it's difficult to grow and optimize for profit. There are certain scenarios in which it's possible, right? Most of there are holy grail scenarios.
Yeah, of course. There's always unicorns out there, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Really. And the reason why is just kind of going back to this cost per click metric. So good ad management at the end of the day is about good budget management, good ad spend management. That's all we're doing, right? It's easier said than done, but that's essentially all we're doing. And so our goals are, where can we most efficiently and effectively spend this budget, right? And that being, what keywords are we going to go after? So that's something that I can control. What bids am I setting on these keywords? That's something I can control. Now, the issue here becomes, and again, this is what makes the actual, I'm going to say things that make it seem simple, and then when you actually go into action on these items, it can be like very difficult. But, and the difficulty comes from the fact that there's competitors and there's opposing forces in the market, because I have some really good friends in this space, and I completely agree with the mathematics. A lot of people are talking about a revenue per click model in terms of bid optimizations. Mm-hmm. Revenue per click model says, given my conversion rates on this target, given my price point, what does my bid need to be to achieve the target ACOS that I'm optimizing for? Fantastic. Yeah. The math is sound, right? And I was talking with, I think we recorded for our YouTube channel, I had a really good conversation. He's like, look, if you are achieving your target ACOS, you're essentially using a revenue per click model. So I agree with that logic. Completely. Yeah. The problem and why I hesitate to fully say, hey, everybody use a revenue per click model because that's going to allow you to achieve your target ACOS, is the bid that you set based on whatever that mathematical equation is going to output for you may not be competitive enough to get you impressions in your market.
Yeah, it's not taking consideration what the competition is doing. It's based on your margins and your math, not the actual math of the market, you know. So.
Right. Which is why it's difficult. So we don't do anything in isolation. It's not, you know, over here, I can do all the math I want. I can do all the forecasts I want. It's, we can do all the forecasts for launch we want. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, okay, you know, if I can get this many impressions, if I can get this stuff, if I can hit this conversion rate, like, look, this is the sales numbers we're projecting. Fantastic. The math's not wrong. What happens when your conversion rate's half of what you projected it to be? Your sales are half what you projected.
Yeah.
The problem wasn't projection. The problem was the inputs on the projection. And so that's where all these, you know, the complexities come in. So maybe I should talk about how to manage it. How do you actually do it? what's the best way to do it? Okay. So ad spend control. Think about it. There's two things as an ad manager that will help improve. Let's talk ACoS. That will help improve ACoS. Those two things. One, you have a lot of control over, sort of. Second one, you have less control over, but you have a little bit, you have some control. First one is how much are you paying per click? That's your bid, right? That one is the one I have the most control over as an ad manager. Now we just set up the conversation. You can put your bid to whatever you want. The market's going to tell you what you can get for whatever you're willing to pay. Great. So that's the navigation I have to do. I'm trying to find the sweet spot between where I'm not overspending. I can still get the enough eyeballs, but I'm not paying so much that I'm losing out. Second thing is your conversion rates. Now, this is mainly listing optimization. So any optimization you could do to the listing, anything you could do, price points, coupons, etc., that's going to feed into everything and improve it. But one thing I can do as an ad manager to help improve conversion rates is better targeting of search terms, looking at which search terms are being triggered through my broader targeting campaign, broads, autos, etc. Am I doing things that are not leading to conversions? Can I get rid of those? Maybe I convert better on product pages. So things like optimizing the placement percentages to make sure that I have better conversions. So what this does is cost per click. How much am I paying every single time I get a click? Conversion rate, how many clicks on average am I paying to generate an order? If I can make it take less clicks and I pay less, that's where my numbers get better. And so that's the game that we're constantly playing. But again, we talked about, I'll give you a second, third, more sophisticated way to do this that is more advanced, a little bit more difficult. But I can give you the concept and maybe you can apply it to your account. Mm-hmm. So you can also think of it as pieces of a whole. So if this is all of my ad spend that I'm spending for this particular product, right? This piece of the ad spend, I might have high ACoS. This piece of the ad spend, I have low ACoS. If I flip it and I say, all of this, I have really high ACoS, and only this, I have really low ACoS. Well, there's a bigger portion of my ad spend that has high ACoS, so my ACoS is going to rise overall. You can use that to your advantage. So there will be some targets where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this cost per click. It's insane. And yet when I lower the bid, I gain no impression. So I'm stuck between this rock and a hard place. If I can't sustain this, but I need this to grow sales, what do I do? Well, you can leverage budgets here. Now, this is slightly controversial. There's a lot of people in this space like, never run out of budget. It's the most terrible thing in the world. You're going to kill yourself. Not if you do it correctly. Because if I say I have no other option except for lower my bid, well, then either I pay and I must keep budgets uncapped always. Bar none, no exceptions. I either have to pay an exorbitant amount of money and have my entire budget go to this keyword that is going to have high ACoS because the cost per clicks are high. I can't avoid that. Or I get no impressions and get no sales. Like, I'm stuck. Well, if you have the third option, which is budget control, I can say, I recognize that I will have to spend some of my ad budget at a loss. However, I can control how much, how big of a piece of the pie of my ad budget am I willing to spend at a loss? And if the portion of my ad budget that I can allocate to this is smaller than my total sum budget, I can still be profitable on the overall product and the ad spend going to that, all of the ad set, but I'll be unprofitable on the small portion. And that's the game that we've started playing more. And again, where is that line? How much, how little? Like, those are the dials and the knobs that you have to be constantly adjusting. And there's no mathematical equation that's going to tell you you need to go to X.
There's no perfect science. It's every day with the flow, dynamically react to it. Yeah.
But that's another way to play the game.
Yeah, which is something maybe I'm curious to hear your take on this. Like, do you feel at this stage where CPCs are really, you know, very high, your budget is very limited, have you seen maybe implementing things such as day parting being a way to mitigate this? Like, maybe you identify days throughout the day, times throughout the day that cost per click by nature are lower and therefore you're more competitive, maybe towards the end of the day or early mornings. Are some trends like that, things that you've seen are helping you to also mitigate that?
Yes, absolutely. So day parting is a phenomenal tool. Again, and say it's a lever for spend control. Ad management is good spend control. It makes sense. We're leveraging that in some of our accounts. I will caution this. Day parting is a fantastic strategy to layer on top and to improve something. It's not a silver bullet. So I have had conversations, some coaching calls with sellers where the conversation was more, I don't know how I can sustain this, so I'm looking to day parting to sort of be my savior because I can't. And it's like, well, really the reason why we're dealing with this is maybe it's market competition and maybe your conversion rates aren't really where they need to be to compete. And so day parting is going to be a fantastic lever to pull if you want to, again, you're trying to control ad spend effectively. It's not going to be the silver. I don't want to sound harsh, but it's not going to be the silver bullet to like a crappy product. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. I think, and it's good that you mentioned that because, to be honest, I hear that coming from so many sellers all the time. Like, they feel like day parting or having this, you know, automation sometimes can be the solution to a problem. But I feel, which is something sometimes sellers are not really, you know, honest to themselves. It's like sometimes if, you know, you've been doing things correctly and you still feel and see that your product is not converting, sometimes the issue is your product. You have to be, you know, have the maturity emotionally to say, you know what, unfortunately, the product is just not there and I have to jump into the next one, because otherwise it can get also toxic to think, which I have seen that a lot in sellers, I'm sure you have seen it, that they always feel there's a hidden door somewhere within their PPC strategy that you're going to do a touch and boom, the ACO is going to go from 80 to 10%. And it's not like that. Sometimes, you know, PPC, as you say, is an amplificator of success. If the fundamentals are not a success by themselves, PPC cannot do the magic for you, you know? So it's important.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that for sure.
Yeah. Now, I think to start concluding, another thing I would like to mention, about CPC is there is also this phenomenon we have seen that sometimes you're able to achieve lower CPCs for the same target depending on the history of the campaign and also depending on the targeting, right? Yes. So I'm sure you have experienced this and a lot of sellers have experienced this. So how, you know, you can explain this to some extent in terms of why you feel that's happening. And on top of that, have you found ways to leverage that? Like maybe you figure out like loopholes, okay, this keyword and Excel is very expensive, but for every reason when I do it broad, it's more effective. Like, have you seen that as well?
Yes, I have. It's one of those, I hate that it happens.
Yeah, I know.
Like there's a lot of advertisers who will come from say like the Google Ads world or other ones where it's like, it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, you very boxed, you're like, all right, everything is funneling toward exact match. Now I will say I am a fan of exact match when it comes to aggressively pushing for ranking. What we just talked about like, you know, intentionally setting higher bids, making sure that you're being aggressive. And I'll talk about why it's about control. Now, again, as you said, historical campaigns, they do perform better. They're, you'll get into an account, like I've done it. I'm sure anyone who's managed ads before has done it. You get into an account and there's these campaigns that I lovingly call like Franken campaigns. They've got like 20 different types of products in there. It makes no sense. They got a bunch of random keywords. They're like keywords you would never ever target, but somehow they're working. There's like 20 different ad groups. It's like, it's this huge hodgepodge of things. And yet that campaign is absolutely crushing it. And as an ad manager, in a small way, it kind of pisses you off because you're like, I can't do anything.
This is wrong.
This.
Like, you know, the
like,
company
I know
wrong,
this is wrong. I know this is wrong, but yet, like, there's nothing I can do. Because the thing is that if you go in and mess with that campaign, or even if you duplicated that campaign, or you try and replicate those things, oftentimes the performance will be much worse than the newer campaigns. I don't know why. I just know what happens. And so what happens, we end up having to like run these Franken campaigns. We pretty much keep them on because that's where the performance is going. And so through that, I do have to recognize. I have to throw my hands up and say, I was talking about like, you'll hear people talk about what's the good campaign structure? Like, what's the best campaign structure? How do I structure my campaigns? What should I target? Good campaign structure is not about performance. It's just not. Because we've seen those Franken campaigns and we're like, this works. I hate it, but it works, right? You could create a Franken campaign and probably get it to work. To be honest, lumping in a bunch of products and things sometimes gets some stuff going. And it's kind of annoying, but it works, right? The same thing with, like, you were saying, a keyword or the individual search could work better in a broad match versus exact match. It's the same exact search term. It's the same, like, but the cost per click is lower in the broad match. Why? I don't know. I just know that it happens. Yeah. And so I try and leverage that, right? So good campaign structure is not about actually getting things to perform better. It's about having that spend control. The problem with the Franken campaigns, the problem with the broad match campaigns is the fact that when I increase something, so let's go with the Franken campaign, right? If I increase the budget, I have 20 different products. I've got 5 different ad groups. I've got hundreds of keywords in all those ad groups. I'm telling Amazon, hey, you can take this ad budget and you can put it anywhere you want. Like
play roulette, anything. Play bingo. Bingo.
Anything could pop up. I have no control. I could look at that one product that I know is my hero product and be like, dang, I wish the budget would go here.
Yeah.
It would make so much sense if the budget went here. This is already working. I want to maximize what's working. And yet my hands are tied. The algorithm is going to do what it's going to do. Same thing with the broad match targeting, right? I could say like, wow, this is my main keyword. It's showing up in the search term. I'm getting way better cost per clicks. For some reason, it's converting better. Why? I don't know. I just know it does. So I could increase my keyword bids. Problem is, I'm increasing my keyword bids for that one search that's performing well and the hundreds of different searches that are also triggering. Right. Less control. Where exact match, again, I don't consider exact match to be like the ultimate form because I've seen phenomenal results with broad match, phrase match, auto campaigns still. Like, we still run those and all of our accounts are still active. But when it comes to that aggressive spend, saying I've identified that this particular keyword is highly important to me. I recognize I'm running at a slight loss, but I also recognize that it's helping me grow market share. I'm okay with spending a portion of my ad budget here and I want to go aggressive. Unless I have that good structure, unless I have a match type that allows me to say, hey, Amazon, you must spend this budget here. I have very little control over where those things are going. And there's a lot of potential for things to spend completely out of control.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Elizabeth, I mean, as usual, you know, you're dropping all this amazing knowledge here. So thank you so much for being on the show. You know, for people, I'm sure, want to now reach out to you and have a deeper conversation about this, where people can find you.
Yeah. No, the best way, if you're interested in working with us, best place is going to be our website. So junglr.com, JUNGLR.com. if you're looking for me, Elizabeth Green Jungler, you'll probably find me pretty much anywhere. Definitely really active on LinkedIn, though.
Awesome, Elizabeth. So thank you so much. Pleasure as usual. And hopefully I see you soon at upcoming events. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice yeah, I appreciate Bye-bye. It.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.